Good evening. Welcome to Vespers this evening. I'm realizing with the extended daylight, I've lost total internal sense of what time it is. So it is good to be with you today. We are in the first week of Lent. So I'm just going to say a little bit about that. The two things that you need for service tonight are the bulletins that have the wilderness title on them, and then your red hymn books, because there will be hymns in your hymn books out of that will be announced during the service. There are a couple of them listed in there, but the words are also in there. So know that you can look them up if you like to read music, but you also can just use the words that are printed for you in your bulletins. But there's a word that comes up again and again in our Lenten liturgy. This is a liturgy that we'll be using. By the way, liturgy means like order of service. It's the framework that holds our worshiping together. And this order we will be using for the 6 weeks that are in Lent. So this week and then 5 weeks more. And there's a word that gets used over and over again, and it's the word liminal. And I just want to make sure that we have an understanding of it, because I think it's a really cool world. I mean, ideally, liminal is kind of like a boundary or a threshold. It's kind of that state of being in between places, even perhaps as a transition or beginning something new. Kind of if you think of initiating something, you can kind of be in a liminal space. And when you're in a liminal space, there's a sense of ambiguity, perhaps even disorientation. But I also think we're in liminal places, there's also a sense of possibility. So when you hear that word, now that Lent is kind of intended to sort of be this in-between time. You think of those times in your life when you had a big decision before you, or there was a change that was coming or perhaps thrust upon you. It's that space in between that you kind of take hold of to sit with the ambiguity and to kind of perhaps live in both things, where you have been and where you're headed, and try and make sense of all that in new ways. So that's the space we're getting called to this Lent under the umbrella of wilderness. As I mentioned, at least these 4 weeks, we will be going through the four elemental parts of our wilderness, of our planet. So tonight is fire, and then we'll be walking our ways in the weeks to come through air, and then water, and then earth. Should be obvious, but I or Marissa, as the assisting minister, will be doing the parts that aren't bold type, but you'll be doing the parts that are bold type. Be aware that there's more verbal participation on your parts during the communion liturgy. Found this, I sort of riffed on a liturgy that Iona put together, and I love that. There was a lot more participation of the congregation during the communion portion of the service, and so we're doing that. The other thing I should note, just in case you're not kind of familiar with directions here, the room divides for different portions of the spoken word between north and south, and I just realized I wanted to do east and west. I'm directionally challenged. We could still do north and south, but I'll have the balcony sing with the south. Does that sound good? So you guys down here can be north, south. All right. All right. Thank you so much. With that, any questions as we move forward? All right, let us take a moment of quiet to ground ourselves in this space, in this community, in this time of worship and reflection, and ask for God's blessing upon it.
Welcome to worship and our continued journey through Lent. Driven by the Spirit, Jesus went out to inhabit a liminal place.
For 40 days and nights, homeless and weary, famished and footsore, he wandered and watched and wrestled.
For 40 days and nights, companioned
by animals and angels, he traversed and tested and tempered.
And then, knowing who he was, seeing where he must go, understanding what he should do,
Jesus, filled with the Spirit, returned from the uncharted place to do the work of the kingdom.
And now we will turn in our red hymnals to page 320, and we're going to be singing verses 1 through 3. Jesus, by your example, you challenge us to make this season a journey of discovery.
As we leave comforting landmarks behind to inhabit and explore our own uncharted places, help us to discern who we are and embrace what we might become.
Jesus, by your words and actions, you show us how to watch and wait and wrestle.
As we listen now to those familiar stories and savor afresh your wit and wisdom, help us to recognize where we are and envisage where we need to move to.
Jesus, you offer us your company in the known and unknown places.
As we touch hands with you now through story and song and in bread and wine, help us to better understand the threads of our lives and see how to weave them with yours into patterns of God's kingdom.
And we will now sing the same song, but the fourth verse. Page 320.
Reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. Sorry. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as the place where the name of God dwells. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And the Lord brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. The second reading is from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess it with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who ask for help. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
I now invite you, as you are able, to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. This is the Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become of bread. And Jesus answered the devil, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led Jesus up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered the devil, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve the Lord alone. And the devil took Jesus finally to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, God will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered the devil, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And having finished every test, the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. This is the Holy Gospel. You may be seated. Mm-hmm. So the frame, as I've mentioned, for worship these next weeks is wilderness. Here we know wilderness to be a place of retreat and adventure, a place for reflection and renewal. But wilderness spaces can also be isolating and dangerous. In the Judeo-Christian scriptures, wilderness brings risk and vulnerability and, yes, danger. But they also are places where we as a people learn to trust. We learn to trust in God. We learn to trust in our community and even ourselves. Wilderness is about the unknown, the unexpected. And today we're going to focus a bit on the suffering that can happen as a result of the unknown and the unexpected. I'd like for you to kind of think metaphorically for a moment of what wilderness experiences you have had in your own life. What losses have you had to endure? Loss of job, loss of parent or child, loss of relationship. What brokenness have you known? Broken bones, broken dreams, broken relationships, broken spirit. What suffering have you known? Pains of climate change, mistreatment for one's gender orientation, legal status, or position. Perhaps you have known the pangs of hopelessness. Feeling lost or broken, knowing suffering and pain, my guess is that most of us have bumped into most of these. Life is fraught with these little fires that stir up insecurity, sadness, and fear. Some fires we're able to put out, but some fires continue to smolder. And sometimes we're the ones fueling those fires. Sometimes it's others, and sometimes it seems that it's just no one in particular. It just happens. But here we sit in the beginnings of Lent, Lent which will last for 40 days plus the 6 days of Easter, the 6 Sundays, which are like mini Easters within Lent. So 40 days plus 6 Sundays, it's the 6 weeks that lead up to Easter, and it is intended to be a wilderness of sorts. The church has used this time in many ways. Growing up, I knew it to be a penitential time. Penitential meaning a time where you feel sorry and you experience regret and show that regret. We're supposed to feel bad for the fires of sin in our lives, and so we went to church more often and we gave stuff up. Anyone grow up with those traditions? As a 20-something, I continued to live into these practices, and honestly, it kind of felt like a deserved punishment, right? You know, you misbehave, then something gets taken away. You do something wrong, and then you are imposed to act or live in a different way as a result. Then somehow we're supposed to take these guilty feelings of Lent and we're supposed to connect these emotions of regret and connect them to feelings of thankfulness for Jesus' sacrifice and love. Like, I suck, but don't worry, Jesus saves me from the fire of sin, so I feel better. Perhaps that life-giving message is good for some. I know some people who have been through the fires of what humanity and this world can throw at them. And meeting Jesus was a life-saving moment for them. But this language, I struggle with it. And I believe that Jesus is larger than just that one vantage point. Do I believe that Jesus brings me life? Yes. Do I believe that his trials and suffering make a difference? Yes. But maybe not in the way you might think. You see, fire is both destructive and beneficial. Many world religions have used this ambiguity to understand the complexity of the spiritual life. I mean, how acquainted are you with fire? Outside Holden, we grow cold and we turn up the thermostat, right? losing our connection with fire's power and danger. But within the village of Holden, we stoke. We have soot on our faces, we have burns on our hands, arms, and clothing, and the smell of smoke is in our hair and skin. We stand close to fire, and I believe that through that we begin to understand it. When John the Baptist announced Jesus' coming, he said that this one would come and baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That always sounded terrifying to me as a child, because we often think of the fire burning off the bad, which indeed it can do. But what if the fire is also about bringing out good in us? What if Lent is a season of entering the fires of our lives? Not solely for the pain and regret of it, though that may be part of the process, but what if we are to enter this kind of fire, these pains and sufferings that we've experienced or perhaps are going through in this moment? What if we entered into that fire for the sake of our good? Any counselor or therapist worth their spit knows that a person is going to find healing when they are able to bravely approach their pain and address it. If a relationship is to thrive and grow, heal and survive, you have to step into its fiery parts and learn from them. Same goes for a healthy community. We need to root around in the fiery hearth of that which keeps us alive and even risk being burned at times. In this first gospel text for Lent, Jesus begins his ministry by marching right into the wilderness. For 40 days and 40 nights, he faced the fires of temptation head on. He didn't use his position as being the Son of God to hide from the pain and suffering. He didn't run. He didn't distract himself from the difficulty. He stayed the course. And it is precisely Jesus' ability to enter the most difficult aspects of life and stay the course that brings me to fullness of life. Through him, I do not find life because I suck and therefore I'm saved, but because I am empowered by his example. I live and learn through the way that he lived his life, knowing that the invitation is for me to do the same. I believe that facing the fires of my life, this is indeed leading me toward a deeper and more full life. And I believe that this is what Lent is for. And even if these 6 weeks are not a Christian journey for you, they still can be a time of facing challenges that we often prefer to avoid. And so we do things during Lent. We simplify, right? I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of the artwork has gone by the wayside. The idea is just even taking down decorations that might distract us from engaging the heart of the matter. The idea during Lent is that we are intentional. Maybe you give something up. Maybe you add another practice during these 6 weeks. But the idea is to interrupt the normal rhythm of our lives to face our fires with more focus. Lent can be about self-examination. It is most certainly a beautiful time to search our hearts. Again, not to wallow around in the ways that we are broken, but be too courageous and to work through the brokenness. We can do this with and for each other. Boldly enter the wilderness, enter the wild places, and stay the course. Together, we can face our losses, our brokenness, our suffering and pain, or perhaps try not and do it all. Just pick one that you feel like is manageable in these next weeks. And take this time to enter into healing, to enter into life in new ways. The story of Jesus' temptation is framed by a very similar statement. The last one was kind of cut off by our lectionary, but I'll share it with you now. Verse 1, you heard it read, that it says that Jesus left the Jordan and entered into this time of wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And then at the very end, so our text ends at verse 13. Verse 14, it says, after his time in the wilderness, it says Jesus was filled with the power of the Spirit. He is filled, and by his love, we too are filled. I mean, if you think about the church and how we try and depict the Holy Spirit, it is with fire. Remember at the time of Pentecost when the Spirit came on the church? It was like everybody had little fires on their heads because they were burning with the life that was coming alive within them. With the power and fire of this most amazing Spirit, we can be courageous. And so my invitation these weeks is that we learn to trust that power. Trust that you do not go alone. And to indeed strive to be brave. We will know life when we do. Amen. As Lent is a time for reflection, again, confession is not, I've moved confession and the Kyrie. Kyrie is actually the Latin word that means Lord have mercy. Well, Kyrie is Lord. Kyrie eleison means Lord have mercy. I've moved it to the center of the service. Now, please hear me. This is not a time where I just expect all of us just to kind of wallow in how terrible we are. But we do carry around these burdens, and by sometimes saying them out loud, confessing them, and hearing words of promise spoken back, they cease to hold power over us in the same way. So I pray that you enter in this time of confession and singing, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, as a time of releasing, saying out loud the things that we know we all struggle with, and trusting that there is life in and through them. Of liminal places, you draw us into the quietness of the desert so that we can encounter ourselves. But we confess that all too often we stubbornly cling to false images rather than face the necessity of change. Of formation, you call us into the emptiness of the desert so that we can confront our desires, but we confess that all too often we continue to choose our own comfort rather than serving the needs of others. Lord, have mercy. Of empowerment, you drive us into the dangers of the desert so that we can engage with your kingdom. But we confess that all too often we prefer the smooth roads of safety over the perilous pathways of justice.
Lord, have mercy. Christ.
of love, forgive us. Wherever we have chosen to be or do or dare less than you have asked of us. And as we walk on the desert with you, watch and wrestle with these things so that we might choose differently in the future. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Loving and merciful God, you promised to bring us out of our folly and sin. We thank you for hearing our prayers. May we trust in your goodness as we learn to better live into our own goodness. We give you thanks for the gifts of this community. Thanks for the gifts of the world that surrounds us in the fullness of creation. We ask that you bless us on this, our Lenten journey, in whatever direction it takes us, through Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Also with you.
I invite you to take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
Peace. There's a word.
Peace be with you. Thank you. I just realized there was something else cool I could have said. Oh.
What?
Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
I know. If they make somebody A1 shoes, yes. Who's the I'll tell you what, do you want to just help me carry it?
songs to help you carry it in. Because there's really no specific song. You just need to get it in there. So I'm going to have you carry this and this. Like a tent in the wilderness, the table of God stands open and ready. As a place of sanctuary and safety, of hospitality and healing. So come, all you who are tired and travel-stained, footsore and famished, come with your fellow travelers and find companionship and comfort. For here, Jesus, who knows what it is to wander, watch, and wrestle in desert places, waits to meet us and welcome us in, offering us rest and restoration, solace and strength for the journey still to come. Before going out into the wilderness of the garden, Jesus sat down to eat and drink with his friends, to show them the challenge of the way ahead and offer them gifts for that journey. He took bread, sustaining and wholesome, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and poured wine, earthly and warming, saying, "This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And now, remembering that moment, this is the part where you get to jump in. And now, remembering that moment and recognizing that its promise is also for us in this time and place, we do break bread. And we'll pause as this happens. We do pour wine. And we share these things with one another. And through this action, we recognize and affirm with joy that Christ is present with us now, throughout the time to come, and we join our voices with those of all creation in an unending song of praise. You have brought us this far along the way. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. God of the liminal places, send down upon us now and on these gifts of bread and wine the same spirit who drove Jesus into the desert, that we too may be strengthened by your presence and emboldened to pursue love and justice in all the world. Now join our prayers with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through Jesus Christ, in the unity of the triune God, glory and honor is yours, Holy One, now and forever.
Amen. I invite you, as you feel comfortable, to please stand as we join in singing the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. And again, many of us know different versions. Please know that the version that you know and most comfortable with is the right one. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. The tent side is open, the table is set, and God waits for us to come in from the desert for a while and be refreshed. Know our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this feast that Jesus offers. This is his table. It is he who invites you to come. So all are welcome to come forward. You'll start here. The first station has gluten-free wafers. Then I will be holding bread. Then there will be a chalice where you can either dip your bread in or you can choose to drink out of it if you wish. Then there'll be, there'll be a basket with empty cups, and then you can have wine or grape juice poured for you if that is your preference. And then finally, there's a basket with for empty cups. You may be seated, and you are welcome to join in this holy meal.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Holy God, we thank you for this holy meal. We thank you for inviting us into liminal spaces that you yourself have embodied. I pray that these days bring us wisdom, insight, and the fullness of life that you wish to offer us. Thank you for this community, for the guests that continue to visit us, and I pray that we would be a blessing to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we are going to be singing hymn number 326, and as you feel comfortable, I invite you to please stand.
God has called us to journey for a season through the wilderness places. And so as Jesus
once more to wander in an uncomfortable landscape, as Jesus stood before us and wrestled with his challenges, that through the empowering action of the Spirit, we may emerge ready to do the work of the kingdom.
Go in peace, ready to serve.
Thanks be to God.
Can I see your belt? I just changed the order. That you know, I have these moments where I'm like, oh, I like it better this way. It's pretty dang smooth for your first time.